Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, yeah. Don't put them by, let us unite, sing up our life. Oh, it's a beautiful day, yeah. It's a beautiful day.
And tonight we're going to have a very, very powerful and special teaching on a strategy for victory, and that's going to be given to us by Pastor Steve Lee. As always, I encourage those out there listening to grab pen and paper. Get ready to take some notes. And also, if you're tuning in, you can call us at area code 646-378-1857 if you want to have a dialogue or discussion or give commentary on tonight's teaching. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and turn the mic over. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you for what you've done and are doing here in for me here at Blog Talk Radio. So I will just go ahead and get started. So if you would, just join me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, I would like to speak from a topic, a strategy for victory. And I know the Bible gives us many strategies for victory. But all of these strategies must include Jesus as Lord. The Bible also only gives us one way to the Father, and that also is Jesus. So only through an ongoing, active, and biblical sound relationship will you go from glory to glory or from faith to faith. All strategies and relationships must be developed and maintained. Just obtaining one victory on what we refer to as this Christian journey does not give us a guaranteed destination. It simply must be the next step of praise and faith. A praise report is not a place for a vacation. I'll say that again. A praise report is not a place for a vacation, a place where you sit down and continue to rehearse the one thing that God has already done. Yes, you give him praise and thanksgiving for that, but you should have, the praise should birth expectation. If the praise does not take you to the next level, then your praise is going to become pride. A praise report is not a place for a vacation or even a place for our habitation. God inhabits praise, not us. I just want you to get that. We're supposed to offer praise. Praise is one of our necessary spiritual garments. It's the thing that can remove a bad attitude. And it can help with the ability to flow freely in the spirit. We're not supposed to abide in something that God did as a badge of honor in our pride, as if God couldn't do that for someone else. That's why we keep reminding people what God has done. And yes, it is very well understood that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Got that. But if your word is the same word 700 years, 700 times, then, beloved, somewhere we miss God, because when we were introduced to God in Genesis chapter 1, it said the Spirit of the Lord moved. Okay, so then there should be something new happening, something different happening in your life from glory to glory. Not rehearsing the same glory over and over and over again, and then building edifice on that place. Apostle and I were talking today about some of the things that are happening in the body of Christ, and It seems like the people that have built mausoleums and churches that are somewhat dead, the reason why is because they have allowed themselves to depart from the living God, and they only experience him on a testimony that is rehearsed over and over and over without expectation growth in it. What should happen is that, please hear this again. It says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Okay? It didn't say, and one person overcame, and everybody else had to hear what one person said over and over again. Okay? I just want you to get that. Because we will see God do something, and we will become enamored by the one thing, and then don't know how to experience him in dimensions that have yet to come. You know, it's interesting about Jesus. He did not do the same miracle the same way. He always opened up to our understanding a new way to experience him. See? So we should have that expectation in our hearts that we're going to serve a God in a new and living way. Okay? I'm not trying to beat up religion. But religion doesn't work. It's relationship that works. And if I just go back to the place where I encountered God and I don't move on with God, then how can he grant me victories yet to come? Okay? Now unto him, just so that we get it, understand it, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can dare ask or think. If I'm walking in the same testimony over and over and over again, how did I get to above that which I am able to think? I'm just rehearsing it again and making you experience that. I become what is known as or referred to as God's chosen frozen. Okay? He did it once, but he's not going to ever do anything again. He's not going to move by his spirit. He's just going to cause me to revisit the same thing, and there's no growth in that. Beloved, please, let's just get it. If you had the same dinner for lunch and for breakfast every day, breakfast and lunch will not be exciting to you. And it will not be, we'll go to the next step. There will not be much nourishment that can happen from the same meal over and over and over again. Amen. It's just kind of, let's look at it realistically. If every day all I had was peanut butter, then my life is going to become something that is dull. Yes, I will know what's going to be there, but God is trying to do a new thing. He's the one that said it. I didn't say that. Behold, I do a new thing in the earth. See, so then we have to expand or enlarge the place of our dwelling. That's why I said we cannot abide in the praise of yesterday and don't find out how to release a new praise. Did he not say that he was going to put a new song in your mouth? So then if you're going to have a new song, you cannot continue to function on the old song. Yes, the old is not to be removed, but it is not to become an anchor, beloved. Okay, I just want you to get that. He wants you to flow in the spirit. He needs motion from you in the spirit. Okay? Because there is no way, beloved. The Bible even says about Jesus that if it was possible, all of the things that Jesus did, they cannot be contained in the books. The world would not contain the books of the things that Jesus did. All right, let me just flip that over there to you. Turn to John. I just want you to see this. John chapter, I think it's 21. See, so we can kind of get this. The last chapter in the book of John. And it says very clearly, verse 25. And there were also many other things which Jesus did. that which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain, listen very carefully, the books that should be written. So that if I'm just living off of what he did here, you can very, very clearly see that he says the things that Jesus did just in the 3 years that he was here. Okay, we're not even talking, beloved, about the Ancient of Days, the one that was from the beginning, that was and is to come. We're not even talking about that aspect of God. Just the stuff that Jesus did in 3.5 years, he just said that the world could not contain the books that would be necessary for that writing. So then why do you think that we're going to see God do one thing and then set up a shrine at that place? That he's not going to do anything else. So that's what I'm talking about. When I'm giving you a strategy for victory, every part of the victory that I'm talking about has to be for a living God, which means it has to be a living word alive in you. Amen. Amen. In fact, beloved, I titled this only a strategy. And I stated from the beginning that the Bible gives us many strategies. Okay? I am not trying to tell you this will be the fix-all to it. I'm trying to get you to understand that as I find one step, there will always be another. We're supposed to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, faith, here a little, there a little, line upon line, line upon line. Okay? So that's what relationship gives you the ability to do. All right? Bringing it back to the natural. You have a baby, but the baby does not stay a baby. The baby must grow. And as the baby grows, so does your expectancy for new things to be done and experienced by the baby. Amen. And then as they become more confident in the thing that they did, this is just baby. I didn't even be spiritual. Once a baby becomes confident in the thing that they did, they are now looking for what else they can do. Amen. If that weren't true, then we would have never experienced the terrible truths when the baby goes after everything to find out what it makes it work. What is this all about? And God wants you to do the same thing in relationship to him. So one of the strategies that I would like to talk about, praise. Okay, because we just said that praise is one of our spiritual garments. We're supposed to put on the spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of praise will overcome a bad attitude and immobility in the spirit. Because if I'm heavy, I'm not moving at the degree of motion that should be required. He said, heaviness causes me not to move speedily. That's what the Bible teaches us, that God will do a quick work in the earth, that he hastens his word to perform it. See? So then if we begin to understand and think from this position, then, beloved, I really don't see why it would take us a lifetime to get over one trial. That's one of the reasons, really, that God said you're not supposed to let the sun go down on your wrath, because before the day is over, you should have resolved that so that you wake up today with a new dawn, with a day star rising in your heart, so that you can see the new things that are supposed to be done by you today. That's why he said, today, if you will hear his voice. Okay? Harden not your heart. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. He said, today, if you would hear his voice, don't allow your heart to become heavy. Don't allow your heart to become immobile. Don't harden your heart. Let the day sentence. Jesus said, every day is sufficient for the evil of that day. Why do we take yesterday's frustration into our new day? See, because I just carry yesterday's issues and made them heavy so that now they're going to weigh down my motion for tomorrow. So then as I do that over and over and over again, you can see quickly how we become stuck in a rut. Praise doesn't allow that. The spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay? So that you don't have to experience being bogged down in life, you can experience liberty that's in Christ Jesus. You can experience movement, Christ Jesus. Okay? Just want you to kind of get that. Praise takes us from victory to victory. Praise is not just supposed to be able to explain what has happened, but it's supposed to cause expectancy for what God wants to do next. It takes you from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Okay? I just want you to understand praise. I don't want you, beloved, I don't want you to praise without expectancy. I don't see how that would be a strategy for victory. Praise produces expectancy. Okay, it should. If it doesn't, then all you are doing is rehearsing in a form of thanksgiving, but it does not have power connected to it. That's a form of godliness. I'm supposed to praise. I'm supposed to allow God to do it. But no, if you're mad, beloved, if you're upset in your heart, that's what God is looking. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. So if you're mad at somebody, if you're mad at, I don't even know how this happens, but okay. If you're mad at God, I mean, that to me is just one of those asinine things that we in the body of Christ do. We get mad at God. Beloved, please know that your next breath is from God. Why would you be mad at the one that controls your next breath? Let everything that hath breath know where they got the breath from. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He didn't say let everything that hath breath be mad because they didn't get what they wanted from God. See, praise supposed to, in your life, produce expectancy. So then one of the strategies that I'm giving you is an expectant praise. Okay, please, now write that one down. One of the strategies that I'm releasing to you in your hearing is to always have an expectant praise. I get a thankful praise. Amen. And after you are thankful, then you should be able to now, because of that thanksgiving, enlarge your heart. That's what the Bible says thanksgiving would do. That when you give correctly, it will cause thanksgiving to redound to the glory of God. It will enlarge or enrich you. Okay? So thankfulness is necessary. Weapon two, strategy. A point 1.2 would be they have an expectant praise. Okay? Because if you have an expectant praise, things are going to happen. There was a song that I heard that it was called Surrounded. Okay? And the writer gave the rendition of the praise that causes victory in our lives. The lyric says, this is how I fight my battles. He repeats that four times. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Then he says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Those are the whole words of the song. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I know this to be true. I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles.
So if I'm mad at God, just for a question, if I'm mad at God, how can I expect him to cause victory to be in my life when I surround myself with something other than him, his love, his peace? I can't have anger at the one I'm praising, can I? See, I'm trying to show you how the enemy messes up the strategy for victory by causing us to think about things the wrong way. I'd rather think about my anger, the offense, rather than to think about, wait a minute, God said he will never leave me nor forsake me. And because of that, I will boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. This is how I fight my battles. Though it looks like I'm surrounded, I'm really surrounded by you. I mean, just those words cause me to think and have an understanding of all the times God surrounds us. This is how I fight my battle. I think about God who said he would never leave me nor forsake me. In Psalms 125, it says this. Let's just turn there. Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Verse 1 says, they that trust in the Lord will be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth and forever. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. See, you, beloved, because you have been accepted in the beloved, put you in the center of the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is to love you. For God so loved that he gave. So that lets you know that you are in the center of his will. Because his will was to so love. His will was not just to love. I guess that would have been okay. But God didn't love. God so loved. Amen. And look at the object of his love being you. That puts you in the middle. You are the soul that made him love. Amen. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. And from that position, what the song does for me, and these are just some of the things that I understood, it causes such a peace in my life, in my heart, that I don't have to fight by my strength, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. And his spirit is love. This is how I fight my battles. It may seem like I'm surrounded. It may seem like I got enemies. But see, I can cause my enemies to be still, because I know that the same way the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about his people from henceforth and even forevermore. Beloved, you can't find a day that's not wrapped up in henceforth and forevermore. That took care of my past and my future. That took care of my present and everything around it, henceforth and forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. See, and so then I began to just think, because now peace, isn't it what it says in Romans chapter 16, verse 20? It says that the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your heels shortly. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm giving you a strategy for victory. Because when you have this type of praise produces to be expected praise produces peace. Come on, y'all. Hear that. Write that down. The expected praise produces peace, because I'm surrounded by him. This is how I fight my battles.
The expectant praise produces peace. Then I begin to hear promises that say, if God be for you, who can be against you? This is how I fight my battles. It may seem like I'm surrounded. It might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. See? And because of this peace now that comes out of expectant praise, now he says, the God of this peace will bruise Satan under your heels. And he didn't say sometimes. He said he will do it shortly. See, but if I don't keep my mind stayed on him, okay, here we go. There is the scripture that helps you out again. If you keep your mind stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. Oh, beloved, he did not just say peace. He said he would keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because in the place where peace is perfected, okay, I had expectant praise, and now I'm going to get perfected peace. In the place where peace is perfected, he says, I can enjoy all things. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on them. Is there any way I can have anything other than victory? Is there any way? Let's just look at Psalms chapter 8, a very familiar passage of scripture. You know what? But go back and begin to use this as a strategy for victory. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh, glory to God. Please, 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 beloved. He just gave you access to everything that could ever impact your life on this earth. Because the Lord's name is excellent in all the earth. Then he says, because I think this way, I understand that you have set your glory above the heavens. And, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, and might, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And he set his glory above the heavenly place, the first order of stratosphere. He set his glory above that. And then he calls me and invited me to a place to sit together with him far above all principality, power, and might, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. He set his glory there. And if this is my meditation, if my peace can be perfected, then things come out of my mouth correctly. When I have perfect peace, when I start with the praise of expectancy, I get peace that is perfected. Now my mouth moves correctly. I have words that are corrected. Come on. We went from expectation, from that which is expected, to that which is perfected, to that which now can be completed, because my mouth is corrected. Expectancy, expected. Perfected, perfections. Now I can speak correctly because my heart has been corrected. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of your enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. He says this praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, those that are not making demands, those that have expectations of good. You know, it's different to have a demand and an expectation. A demand comes out of, yes, it does. A demand comes out of my flesh. Expectation is worked into my heart and then released. Come on. Because out of the heart, man's the mouth speaking. Okay?
expectation is worked into my heart and then out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Okay, we'll try it this way. If you don't put anything in your heart, your mouth cannot move correctly. If you don't put the word in your mouth, your heart cannot release the word. If you're going to fill your heart with bitterness and upset, frustration and anxieties and fears, then you cannot have a perfect, completed, corrected work on your behalf. Out of the mouth of those, come on, let's just go here. Come on, y'all, look at this. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. A babe and a suckling does not have bitterness in their heart. A youth, maybe so. A child, could be. An adult, possibly. But a babe and a suckling, no. All they have is praise, expectant praise. Even when they are crying because they don't have the words to let you know, pay attention now, they still have expectancy that this voice will bring an answer. Not a frustrated voice brings an answer, this voice. And it's interesting. New mothers and newborn babes, when that babe cries, that mother's paying attention and moves with haste. And God is saying, if I can have this as your attitude of heart, and what comes out of your heart is expectant praise, that's the strength that will cause me to move, watch this, because of your enemies. And he said that God would steal the enemy and the avenger. I just want you to get that. Hear this. See, God wants to surround you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I cause my victory to come. This is how I fight my battles. Okay? So you see that God is surrounding you? Turn to Psalms 32. Verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time that thou mayest be found. Where is he at? He surrounds me. Watch this. Watch what he's going to say. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs, compass me about with songs of deliverance. It may seem like I'm surrounded. Come on, this is good, y'all. But I'm surrounded by you. And one of the things he wants to put in your heart at the time, if you make him your hiding place, if you will understand that this is the reason I should pray, so that I could be in the hiding place of the Lord. Because in the hiding place of the Lord, he shall preserve me from trouble. And he shall compass me about with new songs. He's going to put a new song in my mouth. He's going to put words in my heart that come out of my mouth, and those will be songs of deliverance. Notice he's not going to make you sing the blues, beloved. He's going to put, if you will allow him to be your hiding place. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but see, I know that you will compass me about with songs of deliverance. I love that. He put an S on the word, songs. So that means whatever the attack, I can release songs of deliverance against that attack. Glory to God. Is not God, Jesus told us that he is come that we might have life, singular. We know it's inclusive, but I'm going to say singular. And he said, and that life in abundance, or I will have songs of deliverance. I will not have one song. I will not have one praise. I should have a lifestyle of praise, a lifestyle of delivering songs.
Wow. I hadn't looked at this. Come on, y'all. I just happened to read the rest of that scripture. It says, when God becomes your hiding place, he will preserve you from the trouble. please, I'm just reading what I see. Notice he did not say he would preserve you or keep you in the trouble. He would keep you from the trouble. Amen. In other words, the trouble won't trouble you. Hallelujah. It can impact you, but not trouble you. It can be around you. The word circumstances means things circled around you, standing against you. But they don't have to make you move in a different direction because he will preserve you from the trouble. Now you can finish Ephesians chapter 6, having done all to stand there for. See? I don't have to try to run and escape. I can just stand there because he's my hiding place. Come on. If I'm hid, then the one that's trying to find me can't because I'm hid. It's the same thing that he said in Proverbs 18:10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in. It didn't say the righteous are outside. Come on, y'all, help me. Please help me. It didn't say that the righteous had to be outside fighting. They can go in, and the Lord will fight the battle. Amen. How do I engage the Lord? He just told you, songs of deliverance. This is how I fight my battle. I find the place of expectant praise, and then I allow perfected peace to kick in so that corrected words come out of my mouth, and then the Lord fights my battles. He shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Think about that. And then he says in verse 8, and in this place that you have hid in, knowing that I will preserve you, that I'm around you. It may look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by him. And in the place where these songs of deliverance kick in, he says, now I will instruct you. Glory to God. The reason that we don't come out of trials, the reason that we don't find victory is because we did not allow him to be our hiding place so that these songs of deliverance can be released, and now I can hear instruction. Now I can be taught. He did say there's an and there. I will instruct thee and I will teach thee. Glory to God. And notice what he's going to teach me. He's going to teach me in the way that I should go. Oh, beloved, come on. He's not going to teach me. He's not going to even repeat to me the way that got me here. If I would begin to do this according to this scripture, he said he will teach me in the way that I should go. Well, okay, I'll do better, y'all. He didn't say should, he said shall. The word shall is an absolute imperative. So he's not asking you to ask him, is this the way? He's allowing you to know this is the way. And then when it is the way, he said, now walk ye in it. He didn't say, this is my beloved son, and whom I will please think about hearing him. Try to hear him. He said, this is my beloved son, and whom I will please hear ye him. It says, when you make God your hiding place, knowing that he will preserve you from the trouble, knowing that he will compass you about, compass you about, encircle you with songs of deliverance, and in that time, in that place, I have found, beloved, that as I sing and that peace that he talked about happens, that yes, I can get instructions for my victory. This is the strategy that is biblically sound for you to come out of whatever the trouble. He said he will instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go. And then watch this. He will guide me with what he sees. Glory to God. Haven't you ever thought that, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do this and it be your flesh.
He said, if I can get you to settle yourself, to be at peace, to be at peace that is perfected, to have words that are corrected because of a praise that is expected, he says, now I will guide you with what I'm looking at. And you know what he's always looking at, beloved? He's looking at the end. Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Okay. He was there when the trouble started, and now he wants to show you how to get to the end of the trouble. He will guide you with what he's looking at. And then he says, don't be like a horse or at the mule, which don't have a... This was not what I was trying to go, but here it is. Which do not have understanding. I love that word understanding. It means there's something under you that you're standing on. And whatever you're standing on is going to give you the confidence to either move or not move, to show you the direction in which you should start from, which you should launch from. If you don't have something standing underneath you, you have no support. Fall is inevitable now, isn't it? He said, don't be like a mule or as a horse that don't have understanding, and they have to have something happen to their mouths. Okay, all right. When you're angry, frustrated, then you are allowing the devil to take you captive or to lead you with the bridle that he has. Come on, let's look at that. When you put the wrong things in your mouth because of your understanding, because what's underneath you supporting you. If anger is underneath you supporting you, then the bridle that is in your mouth is going to take you in the wrong direction. Come on, look at that. Understand. He said, don't be like the mule and like the horse, who the one thing that the mule and the horse lacks is they don't have understanding. What they're set, they are being led by something and someone else. But he says to us that we have understanding. Those that are living by faith, the way it says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we understand. By faith, my support structure is in place. By faith, I understand. This is what's underneath me. This is what supports me. By faith, I understand. See? So that I don't have to be as a horse or a mule who has something else or someone else that's going to cause me to move in this direction or that direction. He doesn't want you to be, come on, just please look at this, who have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle. The way that they function is because someone else is pulling the strings, pulling the reins. Oh God, please, 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 please. Do you know what's interesting? Oh God, come on, come on. When you ride a horse and when you ride a mule and you have the reins, you can't lead them because they're still in front of you. But God, Jesus, goes in front of us and he calls us unto himself. He was the front runner and then he calls us. Woo, I'm hoping you see this. He doesn't go to us and function in the aspect of one that has a bit and a bridle and is trying to ride you. He is trying to lead you. See? You can be led by the direction of his voice, beloved. You don't have to be led by something being in your mouth, anger, frustration. You can be led by his voice. By his word. These are strategies that I'm giving you so that you will end up in victory. You won't be off course. This is a direct, he will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go.
This is, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Jeremiah 29:11. I know what I think. I know that my plans that I have for you, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to bring you to, not thoughts to drag you to give you hope and an expected end. See, that's why he says, come unto me. Do you hear him inviting you? He didn't kick you as you would kick a horse or a mule. He said by his voice, come unto me. If you're heavy laden, if you're in a trial, if you don't know how to get out, come to me and I will then give you rest. Take my yoke. Come on, y'all. Come on. He says, I'm not going to put the bridle and bit in your mouth. I'm going to ask you to take my yoke and then let it be your understanding. Let it be what's underneath you, supporting you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And when you do that, you will find rest unto your souls. When you make him your hiding place, then he can set these things in motion. This is how I fight my battles. It may seem, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. Look at, you find this all throughout the Bible. God surrounds us, and he surrounds us in particularly when we're in battles, when we're in trouble. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. Starting at verse 15. Trying to see if I can do that. This is they were in a battle. They were about to get in serious trouble here. And verse 14 said, this is what was told. These were the instructions. He told him to go. Therefore, send he here thither horses and chariots and a great host. They came by night and they compassed the city. Round about, the enemy was all over the place, okay? And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, and he went out, he looked, behold, he saw a host compassed about the city with horses and chariots. And he got nervous. And he said to Elijah, and the servant said unto him, alas, look at him, God, what are we going to do? Man of God, what are we going to do? And the man of God answered him and said, God, he answered him and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Gehazi was nervous in the service because he didn't see. Again, God said, I'm going to guide you with my eyes. I'm going to guide you with what I see. I'm not going to guide you by what you see. And then the man of God that knew that God was all around him, that it may look like he's surrounded, but he's surrounded by God. And then he prayed that God would open Gehazi's eyes. And the next thing, when Gehazi saw it, he said, whoa, hold on. I see the mountain. When before, the enemy, listen at this, this is key, the enemy just compassed the city. But when God opened the young man's eyes, he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. See? God is with us in the time of trouble. He's the one that made the promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, don't fear. Because we see God, when he saw this, he said, whoa, hey, what's going to happen? And Elisha said, wait a minute,
Let me stop that for you. He said, now, what you should do.
Oh, my God. Did you see that? Did you see that? What you should do in the time of fear, beloved, is do what he told him to do. Verse 16 said, fear not, for there will be more with us than be with them. And then the man of God prayed, and this is what you should do. Lord, open my eyes that I may see, because you promised that you would guide me with your eye. Open my eyes so that I can see. And as soon as the Lord opened his eyes, he saw that the mountain was full of. It didn't matter that they were surrounded by. God went beyond what surrounds, and God went to that which fills up. To have an attack that's around you is one thing, but to have a victory that's all around you, from the ground up, all the way to the top. He said that the mountains, come on, y'all, come on, come on, come on. The mountain was full. See, you're looking at things from one perspective, and God just gave the man another perspective. He was looking at circumstances, things circled against him, standing against him, things circled around him, standing against him, and God showed him, I have you covered from the ground up. They have one dimension. I just took care of multiple dimensions. The mountain was full of your deliverance. Okay, it started from the bottom to the top. They had the center of the thing in question. And God said, no, 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 no. They can't escape, because they can't get over and under around where I got in front of them. So I just want you to think about this. That's why I said it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by this is how I fight my battle. A fight like this is a fight that's guaranteed to win. Because as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. See, I just want you to see that, beloved. I'll dig deeper into this next week, because I thought of a couple of instances, and one of the instances that I thought about was the whirlwind that was our reference when Elisha was taken up. And that whirlwind happens to be referenced over and over and over in the Bible. And if we would understand that God is going to encompass us so that deliverance comes to us, even if the attack was imminent, he can cause the deliverance that we need to overcome. I like the word overcome, okay? Because the blessings are supposed to come upon you and they're supposed to overtake you. In other words, your attack is one dimension, beloved. It's only one thing that you're looking at. That's the way the enemy, he's limited to that which you can see. The devil is limited to what can come by the five senses, if you would. He's limited to what you can see. He's limited to what you hear. God is not limited to what you can see, because he can open your eyes. The Bible says that the God of this world causes your eyes to be darkened, to be blind. But God can open your eyes. Notice the man of God said, there be more that be with us. He didn't say, there be more that's on the way. He said, this is already established. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says that there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, and will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He says God will not allow you to be tempted above what you already have the ability to have victory in.
He said the devil cannot tempt you above that measure, period, all the time. God is faithful to make sure that doesn't happen. What he would like for you to do is to let your mind be stayed on him, to let your mind be perfected in peace, have a praise of expectancy, so that you can have words that are corrected, so that you will say, you know what? No, God will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I'm able. So because the temptation is here, that means I am able. He did not say, I will be able. Come on, y'all. I'm just trying to get you to see that. He did not say that after a year of suffering. Okay, just flip over there. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's flip that so we can see this. All right? I just want you to know and understand that. Verse 10. I'm going to start up here just a little bit more. Wow, that's good, sir. Start at verse 11. It says, now all of these things that he had already delineated in the previous verses and all of the stuff that you might be going through, all these things, the examples of victories, the opportunities of triumph that God presents. Watch this. All these things happen unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are to come. He says that this thing that you read about in 2 Kings chapter 6, it was written for our example. It was written so that we would be able to look at that, have a reference point, and say, wait a minute. See, this is a living testimony. It was written for our example, not for us to build a shrine right there. It's supposed for us to be able to enter. Come on, come on, come on. He wants you to enter into his presence. So he provides us information that causes us to enter into the victory that we can see happen for them. We can enter into them, beloved. He didn't say we can see them, observe them. He wants us to enter. They were done for our examples. Okay. Then he says, verse 12, because of this, wherefore? Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he falls. Why? For there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. I would admonish you to take your pens and underline every word in that, put circles around it, highlight it, so that you can always go back to that. And then from there, you can develop a praise that is expected. Because you will know that, no. This is how I fight my battle. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. You will not leave me or forsake me. You will not allow me to be tempted above that I am able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. You are faithful to do that in my life. So I'm going to learn to allow you to teach me, to guide me with your eyes, with what you see, to be able to show me the way I should go. Victory, beloved, is easy for you to achieve because the Holy Spirit will cause you to see what God is saying if you will take your eyes off of the things the devil is trying to convince you of. See, the devil is always trying to convince you that God doesn't love you, because if he loved you, you wouldn't be in this mess. No, you're in this mess. Okay, come on. No, you are in this mess so that the God that loved you from the beginning can show you his love even in the mess. He didn't bring the mess to show you. He told you he loved you first. And now he wants to show you that this love, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Trials, tribulation, hunger, famine, nothing. And he said he loved you when he called you out of darkness. Okay? And then he wants to now show you that his love endures
please, please, please. He's trying to show you that his love endures, which means that if the trial comes up, the love has to be able to endure the trial. God will not suffer you to be tempted beyond the point where his love works you out of the situation, where his love causes you to have the victory. He will not let that happen, beloved. No temptation that's taken you. First of all, it has to be common to man. Second of all, know that God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. And will, because the temptation is there, he will show you his love and will with that same temptation. Come on. God can't show you his love if the temptation that is challenging his love is not there. He didn't bring it to prove it. He's trying to show you that it doesn't matter what comes your way. The love that was there from the beginning will cause you to win. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will take that same temptation and show you the way of escape. He will teach you in the way you should go. See, this is how you end up in victory every time. This is simply a strategy for victory, for you to know that it might look like you're surrounded, but you're all the time surrounded by him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into that name. Glory to God. Okay. Just to hear. It didn't tell us to run into the tower. He wasn't talking about a tower. He said the name of the Lord is a tower. So then I don't run into the tower. I run into the name. Why is that important? Because I might not be in the proximity of a tower, but I'm always in proximity of a name. For the name is a word, and the word has been magnified above everything. So then a word comes out of my mouth, and I can use that word that I speak. I can call upon the name of Jesus, the word of God. And when I call upon the name of Jesus, every tongue in heaven and in earth has to bow. So I run into the name. And because I run into the name, anywhere that I am, under any attack, at any time, I run into the name, and I'm safe. And then that name will begin to speak to me, teach me, show me my salvation. But the choice is yours. Which way will you choose? Your way or God's way? He's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you. And we just bless you for your word that you sent to heal, Father, that you sent to deliver. The word that you sent to give us expected praise so that we can have perfected peace and corrected words so that we would then have an expected end of victory. These are the strategies that you have delineated in your word for us, the word that was sent to deliver. Thank you, Father, for watching over your word, for causing your word to come alive on the inside of us, so that we can release life and no longer have to fight death. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
All right, folks, let's get ready. We're going to open up lines for commentary. Area code 845.
Amen.
Well, bless you, brothers, once again. Awesome teaching, Brother Steve. I just want to say, Brother Steve, you have a nice voice, by the way.
Bless the Lord. He said joyful noise. I went for joyful noise. It's okay.
Amen, amen, brother. Hey, amen. I mean, the word does say singing songs in our spirit, right? Hymns and songs,
yeah.
Right? So, hey.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
But, brother, all in all, the word was powerful that came forth tonight, brother. I was blessed by it. I was touched by it, and you're really right that that the way we fight all of our battles daily is with Jesus Christ, and He lives in us, and He surrounds us daily, and we have to get away from the lies that Satan puts, you know, in our thoughts, that God is not with us, and that He doesn't hear us, and that He doesn't love us, because that's a straight lie.
Yeah.
And and the first thing that we have to do is run to Christ, especially when we sin, because that's what God is there for. That's what Jesus, you know, came for. So, I had a question though. You made it was about a passage. It was about scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just pull it up right here. It was in John. It was the, I believe it was the last chapter there in this particular scripture. Yes, yes. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, right? That passage right there, I wanted to just ask you if you thought that was... Because it seems like amazing to me that he says, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
That's right.
That seems like a lot. I mean, it can
tell
the
that,
world.
Yes,
so
exactly right.
Do you think, was that from when Jesus started his ministry about like 30 or...
That was just the 3 years that they
just
the
3 years,
could recall.
Right?
Correct. That was three and a half years. That they could, and
that's
said,
what I was thinking
if
too.
We told you all of the things. See, they just told you the things that the Holy Ghost impressed them to write, because all scripture is inspired of God.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That didn't mean that there were things that Jesus did that he didn't bring to their remembrance so that they could account for it or write it. See?
Yeah.
But these are the things that would cause us to go, wow, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that. Yeah.
Exactly.
See?
In just 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians that the world's without end, and in the ages to come, he will show us, display his grace. Come on, y'all. That's forever.
That's right.
We'll be finding out about Jesus.
That's right.
See?
Correct.
And that's why he was referencing that.
Wow.
So that tells us two things. Not only does it give us expectancy, but it also tells us that there is no way that someone can come and tell you they know everything there is to know about Jesus. Dude, you can't, because they couldn't even put it in the books.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the Word, then, I mean, there's so many things that probably was never disclosed, right? It was just never told.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
That's a lot.
Isn't that what it says? It says the angels wanted to look into salvation. And he says, we have this joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And then he says this, and the half has never been told.
That's true.
Half of it. Yeah. So,
wow.
So that lets you know the expanse of your God.
Wow.
This is who is on your side. Because he knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. He said no limits, no restraints. If you would just begin to grasp that in your heart and then say, God, you know what? It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. They don't know half of the story.
Amen,
yeah.
Brother.
Amen.
Amen. That really blows my mind, brother.
Yeah.
3 years of ministry, that's amazing, brother.
Amen. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Always, always, brother. You guys always bless me, and I'm honored to be here learning, brother. Always.
Amen. Amen.
Shalom. Love you, brother.
Shalom. Love you, too.
Shalom. Amen. All right. Well, that does look like that is the end of the broadcast for tonight. Please sow a seed here if you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you have heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Pastor Steve, is there anything else that you would like to close out with before we go off air?
No, just go back and look at some of the notes and revisit and allow God to just breathe on it, and then we'll try to do part two next week.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, and have a good night.
Amen. Shalom.